It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Libby Denkman. Larry Mantle caught a summer bug, so he is taking it easy and recovering today. Get well soon, Larry. On Sunday, the streets of Hong Kong were filled once again by a sea of protesters demanding government reforms and greater independence from Beijing. The Sunday march was one of the largest shows of solidarity by demonstrators. It was the 11th week in a row of this type of protest. Recently, it had included violent clashes between protesters and police. A member of our Air Talk team was right there for this major Sunday demonstration on the ground in Hong Kong. Senior producer Fiona Ng, born and raised in Hong Kong, and she's visiting there now. Hi, Fiona. Where were you on Sunday and what did you see?
Since early in the morning, people were prepping to hit this rally in Victoria Park. And there's been a lot of promotion and advertisement online. And also you see signs pretty much in a lot of different places in Hong Kong, telling people to get out and join this rally. And, you know, I was at Victoria Park at about 1:30 p.m. The rally was due to start at 2. And I was just there watching as the fields get packed with people. So it was supposed to start right at 2, but because of the crowd that was getting in, they had to delay it by until 2:45 or whatever. But the point that the organizers wanted to do was to basically to pack as many people as possible into this space. And we're talking about six football size, and football meaning soccer fields, plus this lawn area that surrounds these fields. So pack it as much as they can so that they can basically force the hands of the police and the government to block the roads when they get people out of the rally. So I saw a lot of people, old, young, you know, I saw a couple of toddlers. And, you know, what was amazing was it was really, really peaceful.
So there have been in recent weeks some violent clashes between protesters and police, particularly at the Hong Kong airport. Those images were all over the news in the past week or so. But when you were out at this protest across Hong Kong, you saw mostly a peaceful demonstration. Am I right?
That is correct. It was really peaceful the whole way. You know, it lasted, I would say, 6, 7, 8 hours. By the time that I crossed the finish line in Central, it was 9 p.m. for me. I went home afterwards, but I was then monitoring what was going on these social media groups that are put up by protesters. And what I was really seeing was a little bit concerning to me. There were a small group of protesters, maybe 1,000 people. They decided to basically loiter and surround the government headquarters in a place called Admiralty, which is just right before the end of the crossing line in Central. And that standoff kind of held for about 2-3 hours. And as I was watching, I was really afraid that violence was going to break out. And that was what was interesting to me as I was watching what was happening online. A lot of these protests and most of the communication about these protests happen in these chat rooms. And we're talking about in places like Telegram or WhatsApp. And I can really see that the conversation that was happening was that they really wanted this to be a peaceful protest. There were people in that chat room that were getting the word out to get the people on the streets in front of the government building to leave. And it took 2 hours for them to be convinced to do that.
So the vast majority of protesters are asking for this to be peaceful, but there is a small knot of hardliners who are pushing the envelope is what you're seeing.
You're absolutely right. And you see that play out, pretty much that tension between a peaceful protest and people who are a little bit more aggressive on, you know, pretty much every time there's a protest. And there's actually names for these factions of people. And one is called, you know what, I'm not going to go there. You know, I'm just going to end with their names for these two factions of people. And, you know, it's really interesting to see how this is going to play out between the peaceful protesters and also those who wanted more direct action in forcing the government to do something.
What are the people saying, Fiona, people in the streets? What are you hearing from folks? Why are they taking to the streets? Because it was such a large number, over a million, 1.7 million was what the organizers claimed. The police said that that was an overcount. What are you hearing from people?
Yeah, and the police and the government is saying that it's 120,000 people. Now, I'm not really sure if it really was 1.7 million. It was a lot of people, but it was definitely more than 120,000 people. And you know what? I was talking to different people at the rally and about why they were coming out. And their sentiment was that, you know, they really wanted the government to start a dialogue with the protester in the city about the five demands that they have, which include a total withdrawal of the extradition bill, which would basically send fugitives to China. And also the people wanted an independent commission to examine police brutality. And then they also call for direct election. And right now the city's leader is not voted in by one person, one vote. So that's what they wanted. But people really thought that after what happened at the airport, there needs to be, I feel like, a little bit of a reset. What happened that was building up to this weekend was, as you said, a lot of escalation in violence. We were seeing, yes, as far as I'm concerned, when I was in the U.S., watching kind of news of police shooting off tear gas and protesters throwing bricks at the police. So that was really ramping up. But this time, you know, what struck me about this weekend was that all the protests that I've been to, including the one in Victoria Park, have been peaceful. And there was one on Friday. There were two or three on Saturday and the big one, accumulating the big one on Sunday. So that's the sense that I got. People wanted a dialogue, and they thought that a show in number would basically get the Hong Kong government to listen.
We're talking with Air Talk senior producer Fiona Ng, our fearless leader usually here at the show, and she is actually in Hong Kong right now because she's a Hong Kong native. She grew up there, she worked there, and she is visiting and observing the protests that have been ongoing for 11 weeks now. In Hong Kong, protesters asking for more independence from China. Fiona, as somebody who was born there, who has family there still, how do you feel seeing so many people take to the streets and express their political voices?
It was really moving. It really was to see all those people showed up. And it was really difficult to do a day of protest in that sense. You know, we started off at 2 p.m. and then it went all the way to about 9 or 10. There were just so many people on the streets that it took me 4 hours to walk to the end of the march, which was central, what would have taken me maybe an hour. So it was physically demanding. It was pouring rain. The rain never stopped. But it was so orderly. And to see that people were just really coming together to, there was no complaints, if anything. What I heard a lot was while I was walking with all these people, where they were talking about, hey, man, where do you want to get dinner after this? So it was just kind of like a lovely thing that to witness. But
like a social event, like people are kind of hanging out, they're marching, and then they're going to go and, you know, have a drink afterwards.
Yeah, or that, you know, this is just something that they have decided to do on their Sunday night. And, you know, there have been a lot of protests planned basically every week. Every big weekend, if not like 3-4 times a week, that I feel like people are understanding the importance of having their voices heard, and this is the way to do it. It really is lovely. But, you know, at the same time, I don't really feel like the government, you know, is likely to budge. You know, for the last 3-4 weeks, with the escalation of violence, what the government has said, and its chief executive, Carrie Lam, has said is that they are not, you know, they have basically responded to these demands, and is that it's not going to happen. So,
and the government in Beijing has also been moving troops into Shenzhen across the river from Hong Kong. The New York Times has been reporting on the People's Armed Police doing drills nearby and moving in a lot of equipment. Are protesters that you talk to there scared about Beijing moving in a paramilitary force to try to address the protests?
Yeah, and while I was in Hong Kong, while I did see the video of that being broadcast on the news. So the people that I've talked to, and this is, not indicative of 7 million people for sure, but what I'm hearing is that, they don't really feel like it's going to happen. They feel like it's an empty bluff because of the economic kind of position of Hong Kong. And a lot of people that I've talked to think that what's unique about Hong Kong and what they're trying to preserve really, it's this independent judiciary system and also its rule of law, which really gives international businesses a confidence to invest in China through Hong Kong. If the People's Liberation Police or the Chinese police were to come in and come through the border, they feel like, Hong Kong will immediately lose that cachet. So it's actually not going to help Hong Kong. It's also not going to help China.
That's AirTalk senior producer Fiona Ng. She was at the protest in Victoria Park and throughout Hong Kong yesterday. Fiona, thank you so much for joining us today on the show, and be safe out there.
Will do. Thank you so much, Libby. I'll see you pretty soon.
Also on the line is Ray Zong, Program Associate for the Kissinger Institute on China and the United States at the Wilson Center, a Washington-based nonpartisan policy forum that tackles global issues through independent research. And Ray, you're listening to Fiona there in Hong Kong, seeing her hometown being taken over really by this struggle between protesters and police. What is the political context here? What does it mean that Hong Kong is a semi-autonomous territory?
Well, it essentially goes back to the political agreement that China and the UK agreed to during the handover in the 90s, in which there would be something called sort of one country, two systems that persisted until 50 years after the handover, so 2047. But in recent years, certain moves within Hong Kong's government has been concerning to the general public. So that has included giving the CCP more leverage over which types of political candidates can be chosen for Hong Kong leadership. You've also had the increasing economic and political pressure from the mainland more broadly. And this has culminated in a lot of anxiety over is one country, two systems sort of heading towards Hong Kong turning into just about every other Chinese city at a much faster pace than anticipated.
So this is so much broader than the extradition agreement that initially sparked these protests a couple months ago.
Well, the extradition bill in particular is of concern, not just because of what's happening in Hong Kong, but also due to how law enforcement has changed in the Chinese mainland. There's been a lot of stories about quite high-profile criminal cases, including the former director of Interpol, just simply going missing. And these defendants they're not being charged and processed within a system that has a transparent process. And that's all information that Hong Kongers are seeing, and they're worried that this is going to be the law enforcement system that's also going to be in place for Hong Kong as well.
I'm speaking with Ray Zong, Program Associate for the Kissinger Institute on China and the United States at the Wilson Center. And because you look at relations between the U.S. and China, Ray, I'm wanting to hear your take on what does this mean for a democracy like the U.S. that values free speech to be watching what's happening in China, in Hong Kong, with China really pressuring the police in Hong Kong to crack down on that speech. How does the U.S. relate and show support of these protesters without destroying its relationship with Beijing?
Well, I want to say, first of all, that Beijing, the way that Beijing is processing the narrative of protests, it's processing it in a way that is framing protesters as being influenced by sources of foreign influence, specifically from the United States. So it's a very delicate question for Americans as well. How does this protest sort of, does this protest teach anything to America? But also, how is this protest uniquely about Hong Kong? Something that also hits much closer to home is we've also seen in Canada and Australia people holding solidarity demonstrations with Hong Kong. And then at these solidarity demonstrations, groups of nationalistic Chinese demonstrators, they're showing up, they're tearing down sticky notes, they're being confrontational against pro-Hong Kong protesters. So I think these overseas demonstrations will have the most direct question of what will American policymakers do?
What's next? You see these people's liberation. It's the People's Armed Police that have gathered across the river, not the People's Liberation Army. And they're running drills. It's a clear show of force right across from Hong Kong. Is there an expectation that China will step up and actually send personnel in that are uniformed troops? Or is this something that right now appears to just be an intimidation factor from China?
I think that China is most likely going to continue to rely on Hong Kong law enforcement to tamp down on protests until that proves ineffective at some point in the future. For Hong Kong's part, this is added to requests for inquiry into police conduct. But as of right now, I haven't seen any indications that there's going to be there's going to be a drastic change in it. Most of the action by the Chinese government has been on propaganda and public opinion. It's really poured a lot of resources into pro-China content production, so video, multimedia content, internet memes, celebrity endorsements. There's a lot of public opinion management and propaganda work done right now to influence how the domestic Chinese public is seeing Hong Kong and convincing them to go to bat for China's national interests.
Well, I think the U.S. domestic public could attest that internet memes have a lot of power when it comes to public opinion and even political action. We've seen this in recent years here. I'm speaking with Ray Zong of the Kissinger Institute at the Wilson Center. Final thought, Ray, on what is next. Are there any indications that China will budge on any of the demands of the protesters?
As of right now, I don't think there are any indications that this is something that China will budge on. China's, in general, has not budged easily on any of its peripheral interests. And I think that as time passed, it's only sort of doubled down on previously held positions.
Ray Zong with the Kissinger Institute on China and the United States at the Wilson Center. Thanks very much for being on Air Talk.
No problem. Thank you.
And coming up, we're going to have our weekly political panel tackle what the president has said recently about Hong Kong and those protests. And also, is the economy still President Trump's strong suit going into the 2020 election? We'll tackle it all in just a minute here after this short break on Air Talk.